You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Trying to get ready for this audition, ended up getting a live call back. Okay. And I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I'm like so in character. I'm focused. I'm going through my lines. I'm like ready. It's ridiculous. And I'm in the waiting room, and out of nowhere, pow, 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 like right outside my door.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning into the show, this is the podcast where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the entertainment industry, and I make them share a couple bad audition stories. If you're not subscribed to the show yet, click that subscribe button wherever it is you're listening to it right now. Make sure to leave us some love in the form of ratings and stars and reviews or whatever it is that pops up as the way to show love on the form of audio listening that you are using. Did that make sense? Who knows? Also, if you're not following us on social media, those links are in the show notes. We post some really cool video clips from these interviews. And, you know, there's occasional random movie scenes on our story and a bunch of other stuff. So head on over to those and hit that follow button. Okay, now that that's all taken care of, what's happening, y'all? I feel like I've been very busy because I have been very busy. And I got another puppy. So I got the husky a couple months ago, you know, and, I had a birthday party in July where I was raising funds for the Beagle Freedom Project. And, they announced there that they were going to name one of the Invigo puppies after me. If you don't know about Invigo, you guys should look it up. There were 4,000 beagles rescued from this facility in Virginia from horrid conditions. And Beagle Freedom Project was a part of the organizations that went in and took some of the babies and the older puppies that needed to be dispersed throughout the nation. Because, hello, 4,000, so many. Anyway, they do great stuff. They are all for ending animal testing, and they rescue so many lives. So if you don't know about them, I post about them a lot on social media. So head on over to my socials or their socials to learn more about what they're doing. But anyway, so they, at my birthday party, which was a fundraiser for them, they announced that they were going to name one of the puppies after me, which they really knew what they were doing. Because how can you, like, not adopt a dog that's named after you? I mean, she's my namesake. Anyway, I adopted her. I changed her name to Jellybean because that was, like, my nickname growing up. So it's now Princess Jellybean. and she's the greatest. And her and the husky are so in love, and it's so funny to watch them. Anyway, so I've been on dog mom duty lately. Lots of school stuff, lots of writing, lots of mayhem. And that's my update for you all. That's all I got. Today on the show, we have Shakia Augustin. You may remember her from Black Lightning, where she played Shonda. She's also a great writer and creator and producer. She has a brand new show called Cold and Windy from All Black and WeTV. She plays Malika, aka Cold. And we talk a lot about that new adventure for her. So here is my conversation with Shakia. And welcome to the show, Shakia.
Hi, Jillian. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you. As I mentioned before we started recording, I totally stalked you online before we got here and saw that you were doing like so many freaking cool things. But before we get into all of that, I just kind of want to know what inspired you to be an actor and a creator, and is that something that happened as a child, or is it something you discovered as an adult?
Honestly, I think it was something that started when I was a kid. I think I've always kind of just been interested in the arts. Like, as a kid, I think I gravitated to the arts more than anything else. Like, I remember even like just being in elementary school and like how you had to take science and math and all these different classes. My favorite class was always the music class. Like, I remember, I don't know if your school did this, but everybody got like a recorder in music class.
Fun.
At my elementary school. So everybody like was able to take home a recorder, and they teach you how to play certain notes, and you learn like Mary Had a Little Lamb, like just random songs like that. And I just remember being so in love with learning how to play that recorder. And at that time, I was also struggling in school because I like hated math, you know, like even something like multiplications used to like drive me insane. I would be like, why do I need to memorize this? I just want to use a calculator. Just let me
exactly. Use a calculator. Yeah. To all those teachers who were like, you're never just going to have a calculator in your back pocket. Yeah, we do. It's a cell phone.
It's
Thank
everywhere.
You.
It's like everywhere. So at a young age, I just never understood, like, I guess, it just felt unnecessary. It felt like unnecessary hard work. But something about being able to play Mary Had a Little Lamb was just so much fun for me. So I think every time there was something artistic going on around me as a kid, I just naturally tried to do that thing.
Yeah.
One of the things I did the most as a kid was I sang in the church choir. Because my grandmother, God rest her soul, she actually passed away right before the pandemic got crazy. But she was like the most educated person in my family. Like, she went to college, she studied psychology, but she just really loved like children. She was also a social worker, so she loved like getting kids in the community active. And I think she was like the youth director at church.
Yes, Grandma.
Yeah, so she would like put on events for the kids, and it was really just a way to like keep the kids entertained so we like wouldn't go out in the streets and get in trouble and all that nonsense. So it was like a way to just keep us busy. And since I was her granddaughter, I was like expected to be there all the time. Like, every day after school, I was at church helping her do this, helping her do that, helping her organize this play that we're doing for Easter, or helping us organize the rehearsals for Sunday's singing competition or showcase or any type of random thing we had going on. But I remember like my cousins used to feel like it was such a burden, like, oh, I don't want to go to church. And even though I had like my own feelings about like church, I just loved being able to kind of creatively express myself.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've just kind of always been doing that, or kind of chasing that experience. Every time I moved to a different town, or even when I moved when I was in high school to a completely different school. And I just found the community. Like, I was like, where are the music kids? Where are the theater kids? Where are the, I want to hang out with them. So I joined band. I feel like I did so many things just trying to stay creative and middle school, I joined band and I played the flute in marching band all the way throughout. Oh, I love the flute. I actually still have it too. I just bought a new one. So I'm trying to like get back practicing just to kind of like do some more creative stuff. But I was in the marching band all throughout high school. And that's how I got my scholarship to college. Wow. And while being there, I was in the marching band. I went to FAU in Boca Raton, Florida. And I didn't even say I'm originally from Florida. A very small town in Florida called Oakland. Most people haven't heard of it, but the coolest part
about
Oakland
I know is in California.
California, that's, and people always like, California. I'm like, no, there's this small town outside of Orlando. I like to describe Oakland as like, do you remember the town off Sweet Home Alabama? I don't remember the name of it.
Oh my God.
But it's
yes.
like super like country and like, I just love Reese Witherspoon in that movie because
oh, it's the best
I feel like she's me, like going back home, like experiencing this. But I like to say it's like a combination of Sweet Home Alabama and like P-Valley's Chuckalisa. Like it's like a mix between those places. But the coolest part about Oakland is it was 20 minutes away from Disney.
Ooh.
So that was like where we always went for field trips. And something about, I think, being around Disney so much, you just became a Disney kid. You just loved the music. You loved all those experiences. So the marching band that I ended up joining, they were playing Disney music, and that's kind of how I got hooked. I was like, I was like, there's a Disney orchestra. You can like play the flute for them. So like, I was like on the track to like being like my dream was to like play Disney music for like Cinderella. When Cinderella would play, you would hear the music in the background, and that's what I was like, that's what I want to do, something like that. But when you get to college, you just start doing a bunch of things, like the world just feels so much bigger. And I just remember just getting involved in everything, and we would do a play over here, or I was the manager of the on-campus record label, and we would put together albums and music videos.
Wow.
And I wrote and directed a play in college, but in college I was the president of the Black Student Union, and we never had enough money to like put on certain projects.
Wait, what didn't you do in college? Because it sounds like you did not sleep. I think that's the thing that you did not
crazy.
Do.
It sounds crazy when I think about it, but that's what it feels like. I feel like it's like from my grandmother, because she like tried to keep me so busy. I feel like I was just conditioned to always be working on something. Mm-hmm. And I did have fun. I feel like I had fun. I pledged a sorority. I tried to have, you know, party, drunken nights, a mess, but I still just felt like I have to be doing something. I have to be creating something. Like, I know we're going to go to this costume party tonight, but at 7 a.m., I do have a rehearsal for a concert we have coming up. So college was like a perfect place to learn how to balance, like, being an artist, but also like, that work-life
like
balance.
Yeah.
Yes, because you, honestly, because you really need it. And I think that's kind of just what I'm doing today. I'm just constantly trying to maintain a sense of creativity, but also trying to live life so that, you know, these experiences can further inform the creative things that I do.
Wow. So kick ass is what we're talking about. Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
No, I love it. I feel like I'm the same way. I was always, you know, conditioned to be like doing things all the time.
Yeah.
So like when I sit down for, when I have like a day of nothing, I'm like, is something going to fall apart? Like, do I need to be panicking? What's going on?
It's like, is this bad that I'm doing nothing right now?
But I think it's also like, especially for people like you and I who are like, you know, the go-getters, the people who are consistently doing things all the time, it's important for us to like have those days where we say, no, turning off, not answering emails, not answering the phone. I need my day.
Yes. I actually just got a dog. Because I was like,
yay.
I just need to live my life. I got a golden retriever. His name is Teddy. He's over there, but I have him like away because he is out of control. He's 16 weeks. He just turned 16 weeks this week. And he's just all, he's like, if he wasn't over there, he'd be all over me. But he is.
My almost one-year-old husky is right here laying down next to me, and she's finally calmed down. But she yells at me all day. Like, all day. Like, just talks to me all day. I'm like, oh, my God. And I used to have a husky, but I think because she was older when I adopted her, it was like, you know, she didn't have that energy. This one, oh, yeah. My Lord. Oh, my Lanta. I just can't make her stop.
Especially anyway. As puppies. But they're just, I feel like once I got Teddy, I just felt like, you know, I'm trying to like decompress a little bit. Like life doesn't have to be so work. Like I can care for an animal. But at first I was afraid, like, I don't want to kill this thing. I don't want to like be too busy and forget. But I'm like, no, I got this. I totally grew up with pets and hamsters. I can do this. Yeah. And it's been great. He's still alive. We're still kicking it. And he seems happy. He just got back. He just got all his vaccinations yesterday. So he can start going to puppy classes. So I feel excited to kind of be able to kind of, you know, do something else besides just writing, producing, acting so much.
So, okay, back to college. What happens after college? So you go to college. Do you make the move to New York, LA? What do you do? How do you make this decision to be a creative full time?
You know, honestly, I think after college is when you start to realize, like, this isn't a dream. Like when you're a kid, you see, like, your career on, like, this macro level. Like, you see, Disney. You just see Disney. But you don't think about, like, the micro steps you have to take to get to Disney. And I think after college is when I started to realize, like, wait, I'm kind of doing all these things. Do I need to pick a lane? Do I need to pick a track? Do I need to focus on one thing? Because while I was in college, I was a music major, and I had a moment of self-doubt where I felt like I can't make this work as a career. So I changed my major to finance because I was like, I think I'm going to need, out of nowhere. I was like, I think I'm going to need a legitimate job right after college. I majored in finance, and my last 2 years were like cramming this new major down my throat. And I was still minoring in music. So the music workload is like insane. So once I graduated, I got a job right out of college, and it was a corporate finance job. And I pretty much worked there 45, 50 hours a week. But it was... It was one of those jobs where, like, you don't work as much as people think you do. Like, I just, like, balance the books at the end of the month. So, like, I had, like, probably 2 to 3 weeks out of the month, they don't know this, where I was not, like, really doing anything. And I wrote my first web series on the job. Like, that's when we first had the dual screens, and I would like have like one screen over here with like a screenwriting virtual class, and then I'd be over here like balancing the books. And I literally wrote and produced. I worked there for only 3 years, and then I was like, I gotta get out of here. But during those 3 years, I was able to make enough money to, like, every single check was like going into a class or going into a web series, producing projects, taking classes. Even straight after work, I was also performing in some local plays that they would have in Miami, which was like a 45-minute drive from where I went to school in Boca. So every day after work, I'm working a 9-to-5, and then I've got practice at 6 in Miami. So I'm literally hopping in my car, driving to Miami every day after work to do these rehearsals for a play we're gonna have that my job doesn't care about. They're like,
Nine to five.
What you just need to be here. And I'm like, yeah, I have this play trying to invite people. But I think, like, during that time, I was just thinking about the hustle and the grind. And I realistically know I have to pay bills. But I guess New York and LA just didn't click to me at that time. Like, nobody was really telling me about New York. Like, I knew about New York, but I guess I just didn't see myself there. I didn't see myself there yet. I don't think I was sure what I was doing, because I think I was doing so many things. I didn't feel like there was a lane for me, because I felt like I wanted to do all these things and I didn't see a title for that thing yet.
Right.
And then after creating a few web series, that's when I think Issa Rae's Awkward Black Girl got picked up to HBO. Mm-hmm. A few web series started getting picked up, and I was like, I'm kind of making those things, but yeah. I'm just probably not in the right place to get as much recognition or eyes on it. So as I started doing more research, I just started to be like, oh, they made this in LA, or oh, they made this in Atlanta. And things just started to click for me, like, oh, if I'm really going to quit this finance job, I still have bills to pay. And how am I going to do that? I have to make a living off my work. I can't just, oh, I'm going to practice, yeah. you know? So it's like, how do I
mean, as much as we would all love that.
Would just love to just work for free. You know, I yeah. would love that, but it's just not reality. So eventually I ended up just being like, okay, moving to Atlanta. Wow. And while we were there in Atlanta, I did get a lot more experience. I started booking co-stars. I started learning more about auditioning. But there weren't any writing opportunities. And that's what I really wanted to be able to do, being able to write and act. I love acting. But I do feel like sometimes when you're just an actor, sometimes you just feel so powerless. And since I came from
that's always the issue of being an actor, is that like you can be powerless. And that's why I think, you know, the rise of the multi-hyphenate is huge, because we're making our own opportunities and saying, no, my career is my career, and I get to decide what I want to do and when I want to do it.
It just feels so much more rewarding at the end of the day, because I remember like my first year auditioning, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what subtapes were. I was still figuring it out. And I kind of equated my worth to the amount of auditions I was getting, to the amount of callbacks I was getting, and just trying to remind myself, like, I know I just started, so it's not going to just pop for me, but why do I feel like I'm not accomplishing anything?
Yeah.
And then when I just made a pact with myself that yes, I'm going to always audition, I'm going to always put myself out there, but at least once a year I have to produce something for myself, so that at the end of the year I'm not just looking at it like a bunch of auditions and I booked two. I'm going to look at it like a bunch of auditions, I booked two, and I created and produced this thing that I can put in film festivals, or that I can just use this footage as my reel. Like my first reel, I didn't even realize it until afterwards, but my first reel was all footage of things I wrote and produced and put myself in. Oh, I was like, I wouldn't have shots. I wouldn't have footage if I didn't, you know, take that step. So while being in Atlanta is where LA started to become a must for me. And it happened during the pandemic, because we moved to LA, Atlanta, probably like 3 to 4 months before the pandemic hit.
Holy Lord.
So yeah, like I barely even really got to experience Atlanta, because I feel like soon as I got there, we were like on lockdown. So I spent, we were in Atlanta for a year. So I spent most of my time in Atlanta
in your house,
inside, and just doing like self-tape auditions and working from home. So it was a strange experience, but because of the pandemic, so many opportunities just started to open up virtually. So a lot of classes that you could take in LA are now available to you anywhere, any time of the day.
Yeah.
And I started joining writers groups with people who were in LA, and they all had these cool jobs. One girl, she was a writer's assistant on Bridgerton, and another girl, she was a script coordinator on The Witcher. And I was like, well, how do I get that? And I was just like, how do I make that happen for myself? And all of them kept saying, and I know this is still kind of up for debate, but they were, all of them made it seem like you have to be here in LA in order to really, really make it happen. Yes, you can probably make it happen in Atlanta or Florida, but you kind of have to go where most of the opportunities are so that you can kind of increase your chances of getting said opportunities. So by the end of the not the end of the pandemic, because we're kind of still in it.
We're still
after
here.
About a year, we're still here. But by towards like the end, I kind of just said to myself, I think this is just what I need to do. I need to go. But I didn't want to go empty handed. So I decided to produce one of my web series, most recent web series, Kinfolk. I pretty much was like, I'm going to give myself 6 months to, because also my lease was up. So like everything is like depending on the lease at this point. I was like, my lease is up in 6 months. I am going to get out of here, but I need to do these things before I go. So it was like,
oh my gosh,
working like crazy, saving money, but then also trying to produce a web series so that I could go to LA with like a package,
to speak. New stuff.
Something that was fresh, because what I filmed before was like a year prior. So it just didn't feel like something fresh. So my husband and I, we produced Kinfolk in Atlanta, which was actually better because Atlanta is like pro guerrilla style shooting, like permits. What are permits there? It's just like you just walk up to the store, and we got like an entire hair store for free for like 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
We just walked in there and they were like, yeah, sure, we're closed on Saturday, you can come in and shoot. And I was like, oh my god, this would like not happen in LA. Like everybody
no, they'd be like, we need $10,000. Thank you.
$10,000 yesterday. But yeah, it was so like we were able to finish it, and then we moved here, and it hasn't been easy being here. I don't even want to make it seem like, oh, I came here and the fantasy came to life. No, it's like still the work. It's still the work. And I kind of just want to always remind myself that, like, yes, it is a dream I'm living, but it's also a career, and a career I can actually make a good living off of if I treat it like work first. And then, like, I don't know, in my heart, I just know it's a dream. But in my head, I know, like, I got a call time. I got to go to work. I like hair, makeup. Like, I have to know these lines. I have to be prepared for scene changes. I have to be prepared for a random monologue to come in. I have to be prepared for press. Like, there are so many things that go into this life of an actor that people only see what's on TV. But behind that, there's just so much work, like hard work that everybody is putting in. For you to watch something for 30 minutes, a 30-minute episode, and people are putting in months of work for just 30 minutes. So, yeah, I'm enjoying being here and just working, really.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I'd love to talk to you about your new show and how that came about, because you are the star of a brand new series, which is flippin' awesome. So I'd love to know more about it. Is it Cold and Windy, or is it Cold Time?
Yes, Windy? Cold and Windy.
Cold and Windy. Tell me about it, and tell me, do you know when it's premiering? Do we know anything yet?
Yes, I know the day. It's actually online. But they haven't been, like, promoting the date yet. But
I know.
It's November 3rd. By the time this comes out, it'll be out. It's November 3rd. But don't hold me to that, because the date has been pushed back once already. But okay. November 3rd is what it's looking like. But so Cold and Windy was honestly one of the first auditions I got when I moved to L.A.
Wow.
But it was a job shooting in Atlanta. So, like, my... like... I kid you not, my first year in LA, I went back to Atlanta to shoot four times.
Like, oh my God.
I was like, I cannot get out of Atlanta. Like, I am stuck there right now. So, like, yes, as soon as I moved here, like a month later, I flew back to Atlanta. I was there for 2 weeks and I came back, and then I had to fly back like a month later, and Cold and Windy was a 6 week shoot. So I was back in Atlanta for 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
But Cold and Windy, I play Cold, and it's about two female drill rappers who are pretty much trying to make it in the music industry. The story is based in Chicago, and these two women are Chicago natives. But I play Malika. Her stage name is Cold, and she's a very, I love this character so much, because I think she's gritty and she's edgy. And she's not like me in a lot of ways. Like, she's from the hood. Like, I'm from, like, I consider myself from the country, like, not the hood. Yeah. And I feel like the hood is, like, just a little different. But she's just got this edginess and confidence and bravery that, like, I've never had. But the show is about pretty much her journey to... honestly, freedom as an artist. And I think that's kind of what we're all looking for. She's a young mom. She's got an 8-year-old son who was taken from her by the system because of her violent lifestyle. And the interesting thing about drill rap music, it's kind of like trap music, but it's an actual genre where the lyrical content focuses a lot on violence. So
wow,
a lot of the lyrics are self-implicating. A lot of times, a lot of gangs are committing crimes, and then they literally rap about it in the songs and kind of incriminate themselves in the process of making music. And that is like the genre. That is the genre. It's an actual genre. And so these two women, Cold and Windy, and me neither until this. Like, I've heard of drill, but I don't think I knew what it was until I booked the role. And then I started doing research and I watched this documentary on drill music. And I thought, wow, this is a lot heavier than I expected. Because a lot of people's lives are taken just in the midst of gang violence. So when you add dope music on top of it, it kind of just enhances and perpetuates that behavior. Yeah. But my character is in a situation where, because her son was taken, she's starting to second guess her decisions when it comes to drill rap music. She's starting to think, maybe I should rap about better things. Maybe I should change the topic of conversation, because I just lost my son and I'm trying to get him back. But I can't get him back if my lawyer and the judge are watching me shoot guns in music videos and kind of continue to perpetuate that behavior. So that's kind of what the journey is about. It's about her constantly trying to find a way to escape this life, to make a better life for her and her son. But she runs into a lot of pushback from her co-star, her rap duo partner, Windy, Cold and Windy. And Windy is more of like Kanan from Power. She's kind of like the antagonist. She's kind of the one in Cold's ear, like, no, you don't need to change. This is working for us. We need to go bigger. We need to shoot up this place, like crazy suggestions.
Oh my gosh.
And Cold is kind of like it's the comp I like to use for this show is like Empire meets Power. Because it has a lot of musical elements. We do all the raps ourselves. Like after set, we would go to the studio and record songs. So all the music is original. We performed all the songs. So the musical element is very fun, but the lyrics are violent. And that's kind of really the gist of the story. But it was such a fun character to play because I feel like she's like not the complete opposite of me because she's an artist and she wants to live a free artistic life. But her lifestyle was so different from me. Like, I think this show might have been the first time I picked up a gun. Like,
wow.
And even though it was a prop gun, it just still felt so real to me.
It's weird.
Especially because during that time, like a lot of things were going on, like the shooting on set that I don't know why I'm forgetting.
Rust.
But a lot of things like that were happening at the time. And I just felt like the weight of like having guns on set was like heightened.
Yeah.
Even if they're fake, it's still like.
It still feels real. And especially because when you're in the scene and you're using it as a real weapon in your brain, it feels real. It feels like you're holding like something that's dangerous. And it is dangerous. It's fake, but it feels dangerous still.
Yeah, it does. And even sometimes just the image of holding it feels dangerous sometimes. Mm-hmm. So there was like always just this fine line of like, I know I'm creating a character, but also just being conscious of how I portray this character and understanding that, you know, art a lot of times is going to reflect life. So a lot of times you're not performing characters you always agree with. You're performing characters that reflect people's real lives, the way people actually live. And hopefully people can just see themselves and maybe see a better way, a different way. But it was a great experience though. I think aside from like the weight of the darkness of the topic, it was so much fun to like be so active and to be so in a character. Obviously my hair is gone, but we wore like wigs every like female rappers are obviously like, you know, Cardi B, she's like glam to go to the grocery store, like it's like full glam. So that's how it was on set. So that was fun to be like dressed up like my own version of Cinderella, but it's still so much work. It's still so much work. Sitting and getting your hair and makeup done every single day, 2-3 hours, and then you got to go shoot a monologue. It's like, I didn't know getting my hair done would be so much work.
I'm so excited to see this now. I love watching shows on All Black. I think they're doing like such cool shows.
Yeah, they are.
And I've been watching. I've had a lot of people on the podcast from different shows that are on All Black, and I just love the concept of the entire platform, and I think it's like such a cool such a cool place for creators and artists, and I don't know, I think they're just making really, really dope shit right now. I'm really excited about it.
I agree.
But okay, so on this show we like to share audition stories, and those can be bad ones or funny ones or embarrassing ones. Is there one that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes. Okay, so speaking of the hood and guns. Okay.
What a segue.
Okay, so when I moved to Atlanta, like I said, the lease was, even when I moved to Atlanta, it was like a lease thing. It was like, okay, the lease is up. Are we going to Atlanta or are we? And then when we finally decided to go to Atlanta, like we just wrapped shooting a different web series, so we were like crunched for time. So we rented an apartment. It wasn't like sight unseen. Like we went and we saw the apartment. It was amazing. It was like a 3-bedroom townhome for like below low. So I was like, this is great. And on the inside, it was like so just updated and renovated. And the outside community looked fine. It looked fine to me. There was something that was a little odd to me. The house across the street, it was like a townhome community, but the house across the street looked abandoned. Mm. Like the window was cracked, and it just looked like one of those. The lawn wasn't groomed. It looked like a scary haunted house type of thing.
Okay.
And I was like, that place is odd. But I was like, but this apartment over here is great and it's affordable. So we're going to sign this lease and we're going to move in. So when you move to a new place, it's weird. It's just weird because
you don't
know these people. These people don't know you. You're just showing up in this neighborhood and people are looking at you like, I guess we're just supposed to accept you. So it's awkward. But I was trying to get my self-tape situation set up because I had auditions rolling in at the same time I was moving in to Atlanta. So that first week, things just got weird in the neighborhood. Like, people started coming out. You start to see the community. And I kid you not, it did not look like the hood. It didn't look like the hood, but it was the hood. And people liked to shoot guns in the neighborhood, at random times of the day. Like, it would be like 3 o'clock and you just hear pow, pow, pow. And I was like, maybe they're hunting or something in the woods back there. But
oh my gosh.
So I was freaking out already.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in the waiting room. And I'm like so in character. I'm focused. I'm going through my lines. I'm like ready. It's ridiculous. And I'm in the waiting room and out of nowhere, pow, 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 like right outside my door.
Oh my God.
I was freaking out. Okay. I was like, what the heck? So, like, first of all, I was shook because, like I said, I'm not a part of this life. I'm shook. And then, like, it felt like a scene from a movie because, like, the timing was impeccable. It was like, pow, pow. And then, like, it was probably like a 4-second break. And then I'm on the call now. Like,
oh, my God, no.
The casting director is up. The cameras are on. And they're like, hi, Shakia. Thank you for being here. And I'm like shaking, trying to get through this character. And I kept going, but the whole time, like, I was just not there because my mind was like, what if somebody just got shot? What if they try to come
in here?
What if
somebody's like dead on my doorstep?
Do I like need to go lock the door? Or like, what if auditioning and like a bullet just like flies through the screen?
Can you imagine?
So honestly, like, the hood is not good for self-taping. That's all I have to say. It's just not. So after that, I was like, I have to live in a safer environment. And that goes back to, like, just the reality of, like, I'm an adult now. I'm a woman. I have to, like, protect myself. Like, my mom and dad are not here to do anything for me. Like, I have to be a big girl now and take care of my business. So I was like, Soon as that lease was up, I was like,
"Audi,
I'm going to LA. I don't have time for this insanity." And it happened all the time, honestly. Like, I would be on Zoom calls and like,
oh my God,
gunshots would go off, and I would just be like, "Yes, my neighbors. Yes, they're just."
I can't. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That is a terrifying thing that you had to like condition yourself to get used to as well. Like, the fact that you had to like get used to that noise so that you could focus on your meetings and your auditions. Like, oh my God.
It's not even normal. It's not even normal.
It's not normal.
Just be like, oh, that's just my neighbor. They're just shooting.
Just something. Just shooting for no reason. Wow. That was a great story. That was a good one. Dang. Oh, man. So what's next for you? Are you working on anything right now? Are you writing anything?
Yes. Yes. I'm doing a lot of writing now. We just wrapped Cold and Windy a couple months ago. And during that time, it's like, sometimes being a multi-hyphenate, like, the goal is balance. Like,
yep.
And sometimes you have to know, like, I might need to take a break from this thing to focus on this thing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, while I was doing Cold and Windy, I wasn't doing any writing because I just didn't have time. We actually filmed an 8-episode drama in 6 weeks. So
that's
it was
wild.
Like,
that's insane. Not even a full week per episode. That's insane.
It was a block shooting, like 7 to 10 days to shoot 2 episodes at a time. So like one day I'm here and then the next day, or literally like in one day, I'm going from episode 1, 2, 1, 2, like back and forth, wardrobe changes. So it was a lot. So I just couldn't write.
No.
So that was 3 months of not writing. So I was like, okay, this summer I'm going to take a break from auditioning, because that was difficult too, especially during pilot season. It's hard to write because you have auditions coming in back to back. And sometimes you're auditioning every week for that month. And sometimes your brain just can't be like, I'm going to go memorize 10 pages and then I'm going to go write 10 pages about something
very difficult.
Completely different. So I've had to kind of become okay with being like, I know I'm not writing right now and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I will find time. So this summer I was like, I'm going to cut back on auditioning and just wait till episodic season. And during this summer, I'm working on 3 scripts right now. My first feature film I'm excited about, is called I Got Rhythm, and it's about a church girl who falls in love with jazz music. And I'm actually working with a coach on that. So it feels good to kind of like have someone that's like, hey, your pages are due this week. Because before I was just writing pilot scripts and web series. So to write a feature for the first time, I was like, I feel like I need like an accountability partner. So I have a coach helping me with that. And I'm working on a feature film script called Burn House that I actually plan on starring in and producing with a young woman. Her name is Destiny Macon. We actually met a couple years ago. We did a short film together. And I was just an actress, but she was the writer and director. And we just kind of clicked on that project. But that short film just this year got into ABFF. And it was nominated. It was nominated for the HBO Short Film Award.
Oh my gosh.
So we were like, we're making magic together. We should like do something else. We're co-writing a script now. We just finished the treatment, so now we're headed into script like now. We've just been like co-writing that. And then I have a pilot I'm working on with my husband, and it's actually inspired by the Shooting Hood apartment place.
Okay, so, well, something good came of it then, because he got a script idea.
I was like, my trauma will become a story. I will turn this into a story. And it's such a creative person thing.
It's like, oh my, trauma? I need more trauma. I need to write things.
Give me all the trauma.
Give me the trauma so I can come up with a great story, please. Or painting or a song or whatever it is.
I think I saw a quote where somebody said, don't date a writer because you'll end up in their story.
Like, it's so true. So true.
Like, I'm going to write about it.
Well, I mean, it's been so fun having you on the show. I'm so excited to see everything that you're going to do. How can people follow you on social media to keep up with all your projects?
On Instagram, I am Shakia Augustin, SHKIA AUGUSTIN. And that's pretty much my handle everywhere. If you just look up that is... I try to keep it simple because the name is already long. So it's just like, honestly, if you just type in my first name, it's like unique enough that kind of nobody has it yet. So it's easy to look up. And that's me on IMDb. I tend to put a lot of projects on there as well, just to keep people up to date with what I have going on next. But it was amazing talking to you too. This has been so much fun. And I was a little nervous because this is like my first interview. So I'm like,
oh my God. That's so exciting. I feel
honored. But it was fun. It was so much fun. You've been amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been so, so nice talking to you. And I seriously can't wait to see all that you're doing. I love a woman who goes out there and makes her own career. So I am Team Shakia all the way.
Thank you. I'm Team Jillian. Yes.
Yes.
Team us.
Team us. We did it.
Thanks again to Shakia for coming on the show and spending some time with me. Make sure to check out her new show, Cold and Windy, November 3rd on All Black or WeTV. It's going to be really good. I'm super stoked to watch it. So I hope you are too. Make sure to put that on your, like, you know, to watch list. Do you keep a list? I keep a list. There's too many things out in the world. You have to keep a list. Yeah. And thanks again for tuning in every week. So nice to... I don't see you guys. I was going to say nice to see you guys, but I don't see you guys. So thanks for listening to me ramble. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.